Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2. 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon. 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
Hey guys, welcome back to Dial In with Jake and Zach, and we're going to give a short message from Law Chevrolet. Yeah, we know it's the December one. Dylan's slacking, so we're going to hold Dylan accountable for getting us a new one. So, quick word from Law Chevrolet, and we'll be right back with the podcast.
Hey guys, it's Dylan out here at Law Chevrolet Buick in Boonville, Indiana. Hey guys, for the month of December, we're running employee pricing on our 2018 Chevrolet models, all of them. We're talking Cruises, Malibus, Equinoxes, your Traverses, your Silverados, and that's even on your Tahoes and Suburbans. Huge rebates, big discounts, especially around the holidays. Everybody wants to save as much money as possible for our drag racing family. Guys, we understand how important it is to get to the racetrack each weekend. I know how important it is for me as well, Steve and Chad and Josh here. We want to try and help you guys out as much as possible. If you guys come and purchase a vehicle from us, we're going to give you $600 on a Visa card. Hopefully that helps you guys get to the racetrack maybe twice, maybe get some gas money, maybe an entry fees. For some of us, that's definitely going to be buyback money. I may see you guys in the buyback line myself. But like I said, huge discounts for the month of December. So come down here and see us. We're located in Boonville, Indiana. Our phone number is 812-897-2220. So give us a call and we'd be glad to help you guys out. Thank you.
So welcome back to Dialed In with Jake and Zach. And we're 2019 and we're still kicking, so that's got to give us some encouragement to keep going, I reckon. And how's your new year, Zach?
Man, it's been great so far. Yeah, I can't believe it. These numbers just keep getting higher and higher on these episodes. 17, thank you all that have stuck with us. We are trying to find something to tie into the number 17. I know Jake said he found Scott Coletta had 17 national event wins in Top Fuel, so I think that's pretty cool. We'll kind of dedicate the episode number to him this time. Yeah, New Year's has been great. You know, everything is kind of shaping up. You know, got some engine parts on the way. Going to be putting the bullet together again pretty soon. And, you know, racing is getting closer and closer right on the horizon this year. So how about you? How was your new year?
Well, it wasn't too bad. A little warmer than yours, I think. But other than that, mm-hmm. You know, same old, same old.
Yeah, that's right. You were bumming on the beach. So how was Florida?
It was a good time. We went to Disney, and the hotel we stayed at had a putt-putt course, and Easton told me that ranked right up there with going to Disney. It was equal on his spectrum, so
right.
Next time, just take him putt-putt and save $1,000.
Right. Well, as long as they have a good time, I guess that's what's most important, and look like you guys had a blast from all the pictures I saw on Facebook, so that's awesome. And my wife Kristen and I took a journey down to Gatlinburg area and stayed in a cabin down there for a few days, celebrate our first anniversary, so I had a lot of fun, and got to go to the Dixie Stampede, which if anybody has planning on going to Gatlinburg, put that one on your list. The food is phenomenal, and you get to watch a show while you eat, and it's really, really awesome. Lots of good things to say about that for sure. And then, you know, I got to go hiking on the Appalachian Trail, had a great time, ended up testing my limits a little more than I thought I would. I was incredibly sore for the next 3 or 4 days after that. I only made it about 7.5 miles, but I swear it was uphill the entire way, somehow both ways to where I went and back. But the views were incredible. The pictures that I got were unbelievable. And then happened to have a flat tire in the Smoky Mountain National Park, which was great.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah, it's all part of it. It's all part of the experience, you know, and it even makes it better when you get the car up on the jack and you take the wheel off and it falls backwards off of the jack. So got to make it interesting. It can't just be a simple, put the donut on. But anyway, it didn't hurt anything, luckily, and made it out of there unscathed with the old trusty Ford Edge. It's got 230,000 miles on it. But yeah, just starting to get geared up for racing. And one announcement, you know, I saw that was made that really got me excited about this coming year was seen at the No Box Nationals coming back to Wagler Motorsports Park on June 14th through 16th. So it's awesome to see that back. We were talking about that we hated to see it go not that long ago. So what do you think about that, Jake?
That was in the works there for a while. I know Jenna and Jeremy Wagler talk every now and then, but Jeremy is wanting to do the No Box Nationals just to keep it traditional, keeping it at Lions Raceway Park, or now Wagler Motorsports Park. Alan and Greg, they were gracious enough to give us so many years of an awesome bottom ball event here in the South Central Indiana area. And, you know, it's something that Wagler didn't have to do. He doesn't, he doesn't need one more thing on his docket, but he's going to take it on. And I still think you're going to get the same treatment as you did with Greg and Allen, because that was something that they harped on whenever they allowed him to do that. So
for sure. And it's a first class facility.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got heated and air conditioned showers and bathrooms and all concrete 8th mile. And, you know, it's an awesome facility for sure, but it's still all the Triple O promotions rules that they had set in place, and they've kind of ground out throughout the years and got it fine tuned. Those mm-hmm. will all be in place, just like Greg and Allen where they're running it. And I would venture to say they're going to probably go race it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would imagine that they would be there supporting it for sure. And, so I saw that you, I know you were telling me, you know, how you were going to go to Florida and be close to the New Year's Nationals. How did you end up on the microphone?
Well,
you just can't stay away from it.
You know, and I had a Bailey Ferraro, a racer that I'm pretty good friends with, and when we're out on the big money scene, he stopped me in the staging lanes. He's like, "Hey, are you here to get on the microphone?" I said, "No, I'm here to make this really good race car look bad, but you know, I'm not opposed, I guess." And about 3 hours into it, Rob Reynolds finally said, "Hey, you know, can you go up there and do your thing?" He said, "I need my announcer in another place right now." And I said, I guess I can do that. So I guess I'll now be there next year for that. So Rob asked me to come back next year. So I think we're going to plan our family vacation around that every year now. And maybe it was nice to get down there and hang out at Jenna's parents' house and spend Christmas with them. And, you know, it's always nice to get down there because we don't get to see them a whole lot. So.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like Rob Reynolds putting on some good races, and good to see if that, you know, become an annual event. Maybe someday I'll get to make the trip down there. It looked like a lot of fun, looked like a great race. And we got some results from that to give to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of Champ and or Stephen McCrory. Saturday 10K, just to cap off the last half of the year that he had, was just incredible. Him and Ken Grant had a heck of a final round. I think Champ was 9 and Ken was 1, give it back a few thou. So Champ was showing Jason Folk that his dragster does know how to find a winner circle. I believe Ken Grant won this event last year. He drives the Wicks family ride, I think, or I'm not really sure how that works out. But Ken's a bad dude, and Champ is, well, he's Champ. And, you know, he didn't get that nickname from hanging out at the buyback window all day long.
Right. And then no box on Saturday. The winner was Troy Stafford. Deep Nur written on the window all day, which was awesome. So good on you, Troy. And then Junior's some guy we've talked about a few times. I guess he's pretty good at this bracket race and stuff. Gage Birch took the win in a junior dragster, finishing up his junior career that weekend.
Yeah, and Gage and Trip McCarty, which is better known as the professional donkey womper. Trip is, I think he's 11 maybe now. And maybe 12, I think. And he's just out there doing it. And it was a big weekend for the McCarty family. Caroline got the win Sunday in junior dragsters. It was Gage and Caroline's final junior event, period. Like, it was it. As of January 1, they aged out. Caroline got a really nice door car, and Gage is going to get back in the Mustang that he ended up getting the 10 no box 10K shootout win. And he finished the ride just before the weekend and no testing, and showed up and stuck it in the winner's circle on Sunday.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it seems like every time there's a race that Gage Birch is at, he's just winning multiple classes, multiple finals. It's unbelievable. I think that there's a lot of good things to come from this young man. Sunday, they had a couple of shootouts. The box shootout winner was Chad Duke, and taking the win in his Camaro. That's always a work in progress. It's just getting better and better, and no expense spared. So good to see Chad take the trip down from North Carolina down there and get it done. No box shootout winner, Tucker Creech.
Tuck the duck.
Taking the win in the box class. Some dude that has done pretty good here recently, and, well, pretty much just all the time. Skinny Kenny Underwood took the win over Gary Williams.
Man, he's just incredible.
Skinny Kenny getting it done in the door car this time.
Yep, it was an all-door car final. G-Dub driving the FTI truck. I think it was all-door cars from the round of 3 or 5 on, so the dragster took a beating on Sunday. The junior dragster shootout, Aaron Reynolds got the win in the junior dragster shootout, and I think that wraps up our New Year's Nationals results. That was an awesome event. They had 240 entries, I want to say, in top, and 160 or something in no box. And that was a beautiful racetrack and a very well-run event.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I know one thing we had talked about before the show, I wanted to mention that Rob Reynolds gave out little trophies to all of the junior dragster racers that were there, in which it was their last race that they had aged out of the class. So I thought that was a great gesture on his part to give to those racers that are now moving on into big cars to whip up on old guys like us.
Yeah, it's not going to take long, I don't think.
No.
So our first of two interviews here on this episode, number 17. Yeah, we're going to give you two just because there's not a whole lot of racing going on. A quick conversation with Paige Hamlin. Paige started the South Central Bracket Racing Facebook page, the website, the points series. She'll give you a little bit of insight about how that works, and there's a ton of giveaways if you're anywhere near the South Central area. She's worked her tail off at this, and I believe it deserves the publicity it's about to get. So sitting in with us today is a school teacher by trade and a online race promoter by night, the founder of South Central Drag Racing. And she grew up in the racing family, and she married Scooter Hamlin, so you got to give her props for taking on that task. So, Paige Hamlin, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How about y'all?
Better than we deserve, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got that right. So, South Central Drag Racing, this thing kind of took off like wildfire, like real quick. Can you kind of tell us about how it came to fruition?
Yeah. So actually, it's something I started about 5 years ago. I was really bored on a trip to Midland, Texas to pick up. I actually had a Vega a couple years ago, and I was pretty bored. And up until that time, I'd always made calendars for every race, and I always ended up marking them out because things would change and all that. And so I thought, you know, why not? You know, everything's digital these days. And I made a Facebook. Pretty much it had started as a goal of putting all of the race events in one spot, and it kind of just took off from there. I'd actually kind of stopped messing with it for a couple of years, and slowly but surely people kept liking it. And so in the last 2 years, I've really kind of got back on the horse and really trying to be a great resource for racers in the South Central division.
And Paige, if you would tell us and the listeners about your racing in particular, kind of how you got involved in the sport just in general.
Well, I am a track kid that grew up at Texas Raceway, which sadly isn't open anymore. Pretty much was out when I was about a month old. Took a little bit of a break. My parents decided to step away. And then my dad actually started driving a wheel stander called it the Texas Bandit. And so when he started doing that, I wanted to do juniors. So I did that for a couple of years. I wasn't very good because I don't really remember. I think I won once and they all broke. So that's about how well that career went for me. I think my husband's dad worked on my race car. He was definitely much older. So, but I looked up to my husband actually. And so I'd actually kind of stepped away after a couple of years of that, because I really wasn't that good at it. I think I was a little, I guess as kids, we're all kind of, I mean, some kids are focused, but I was not that kid. I did not have that talent like my husband does, but literally kind of went away for a couple of years and came back when I was about 16 or 17. And I loved it so much, I was willing to race a street car, or I had a street truck. It actually had pink racing stripes that my buddy Chase Huffman put on, a little bit crooked, but we forgive him for it. He'll tell you that the light on the truck was not centered. So did that, and then I got back in a big car. I'm a foot breaker. That is all I am. I cannot. That top bulb just can't do it. Ever since, I think I've been in a big car since about 2009. Last couple of years been off and on. I had my son. He's a year old. So South Central has kind of grown in that time because for me, I love the sport, and this is kind of my contribution. This is kind of what keeps me a part of it, even when I can't get in a car every weekend. So that's kind of my story and all of that fun stuff.
Hopping back and forth, you say, into your car. You recently became a mother not too long ago, and is there going to be junior racing in the near future?
Oh, yes. Here, well, funny story. I don't know. Do y'all know about all the Hardens race cars that kind of were popular couple years ago? I don't know if it was
Texas or not. We don't see much of the stuff you guys have down there. It usually doesn't make it this far.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a guy that he used to build a bunch of cars, and the Hardin cars were really popular in Texas. My husband now works for him, so my son actually has a 790 junior. Not sure what we're going to do when he's five, but he already has a junior, plenty of mothers. He's actually already got a 60 1962 Chevy 2, because my husband and his dad have a little bit of a Nova addiction. But yes, we will definitely, he probably won't have a choice, and hopefully he likes racing, because this is, he's not going to have much of a choice.
Give us a little rundown of the South Central Point Series and the membership program, because you had a lot of local support on product giveaways and stuff. Just benefits of being a member of the South Central drag racing, I guess, would it be a point series you have going on?
Yes. So we actually have two things going. So we have a point series and we have a membership. The membership has actually been going on. We started last year, and we're really excited to kind of unveil the point series this year. And the series is going to take on the form of kind of like a local program. So basically racers can sign up. For electronics, it's $100 to enter. And for no electronics, it's 50. So we actually took some surveys and asked racers kind of what they would prefer for an entry. And that's kind of what we came up with. But the cool thing about the series is they're racing for a big money gold card. So these races that are on the schedule, if they win, they can actually enter those races for free in 2020. So I'm really thankful for all the race promoters that have gotten on board and made this possible. So based on participation, we also will be giving out checks to first through fifth, and then hopefully we'll go past that. There are going to be advantages if you're not leading the points. We really believe in putting the racers first at each race. If as long as you're at the race and you're a points member, we're going to have giveaways each weekend. There could be a couple $100 gift certificate to, and I can't give it all away yet because not everything's finalized yet, but we're going to have a lot of great prizes to give away. I do know Pro One, they are going to be on board for, we're going to have a lot of product to give away from them at the races. There's going to be some really good stuff. It's not going to be just for the racer that's leading, because you might, like, people might see it and say, oh, this racer signed up, I'm not even going to try. But we're really trying to make sure it's not just about those that might be in the top 10. We want it to be great for everyone. So
when you figure that price, are you going to charge Ryan Leghorn a little bit more since he bought votes for his index point series?
Heck yes. No, he's definitely, he probably wishes we did a little index point series for sure, but I'm probably going to charge him about 1500, I think.
Yeah, he's got it.
But yeah, I think I'm really excited about it. Just really want to get the word out. It's going to be, I mean, it doesn't ever hurt to try something. So it's really exciting to see also. I mean, we've got a lot of races in the South Central Division, Division 4, that we're supporting, and they're supporting us. And I mean, Johnny Bracket Racer, Johnny Uzel and Cody Pollage, their races are on the schedule with their Southern Big Buck Nationals, the Texas Triple Tens.
Which I think I might be there in March or in February or March, whichever one's at Cody's race. I'm not sure which one that is.
The one in Texas or Belrose?
In Texas. I think I might be there.
You might as well. I mean, it's bit like the shootout list is almost at 100, I believe. It's actually, I mean, it's looking good. This is, I'm excited for this to kind of come to the Motorplex. And the really the big thing too is this is not being put on by the Motorplex. This is purely by Cody and
very unlike them to turn over the reins like that too, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lot. I don't know how much you follow the DFW side of things. There's a lot to that, but it's going to be, it definitely has not happened in a long time, and I'm really excited to see kind of how it turns out. I know Scooter is excited to run that race. I mean, because it's three tens. I mean, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You could be running for 10,000. I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, and Texas is a little different from where we're at, because three tens, you know, that's a points race for us, but for you guys it's kind of rough for you guys to get a consistent big money series out that way.
Yes. Well, and I mean, we've had Tommy Phillips has put on a great race with the Lone Star Summer Shootout, but that's really the largest race that we've had. I mean, Abilene does some stuff, they have done races, but for DFW we don't have much. I mean, we don't have much of a bracket program at the moment. We're lucky that Extreme, I don't know if you've heard about the track that opened up.
Oh, we've heard.
Yeah. Well, and actually that's 10 minutes from where we live, but that is about it, or else we are driving literally. I mean, we drive to Ardmore most times. We'll drive right past the Motorplex, but on the Hamlin Motorsports side of things. But yeah, so I mean, it's going to be, I mean, my favorite, I mean, I'm excited because I'm going to finally go to the World Foot Brake Challenge, even if I'm watching. I've got a little excuse to head out there, head out to Bristol. That race is actually on top of a Texas Triple Tens race. So I wanted to note that there will be no foot brake racing happening at the Motorplex, just to be fair. But
well, Paige, if you would, can you maybe speak to how, if there was any difficulty or how, you know, how it came about to get all these different promoters on board with this point series? Was it received, you know, well by everybody? Was it a fairly easy task, or was there some difficult negotiation?
I want to say, I mean, I've been working on this whole program for about 6 months. I talked to Johnny Ezell about this about 2 years ago because I was working his Oklahoma Summer Nationals race, kind of doing helping with the promotions behind the scenes. Really thought it was a great idea. And I think a lot of the race promoters, really the hardest part was making sure of what races were actually going to be happening. They've all been so supportive, and yeah, it's been, they're great. I mean, I'm super excited for each race on here, as well as even the Million has signed on. So I think it's going to be a great series. That they have been so supportive, and I'm really looking forward to doing what I can to help support these races as well.
And what about from the racers themselves? Have you, what's the feedback been?
Well, right now, I think it's really just getting the word out. I actually had a little fun at the Cowtown Winter Throwdown, whatever, practice treat, I don't know, it, last night, and just kind of getting to talk to people. It's been, it's had a good response. I think just really getting the word out, once people hear about it, they get excited about it. And so I really appreciate y'all having me on to kind of help spread this.
Yeah, not a problem. And when we set out to do this, that's what we wanted to, do things like this. We wanted to bring in, you know, people like you that are trying to get something to grow, because there's nothing that bad that will come of anything when we try to promote something like this. You know, that we need support, and we need racers to continue supporting. And, you know, it's just hard to, it's hard to get everything on the docket that's out there right now. So this is definitely something that would be awesome to see spread into not just South Central. I mean, we could definitely use that in the Midwest where we're at. And I think you're really onto something here.
And we are actually, so if you start to see Big Check Bracket Racing pop up on Facebook, that is kind of going to become kind of the sister Facebook page to South Central, because we are hoping to take this, if it does well the first year, we're hoping to take it to more of a national level next year, more into, because I mean, for us, South Central, I totally get that we do not big money bracket race as much as kind of the East Coast, kind of where y'all are at. I've told Scooter we need to move because we totally don't live close enough to where all of the racing is happening. But it's definitely hoping to grow.
Well, Paige, tell our listeners where they can go and sign up for the point series.
Okay, so they can totally go to southcentraldragracing.com. If they go to, there is a tab that will say points, and they can sign up for electronics or no electronics. It does have that option. They can also, if they want to sign up at the track, that is also an option. I will be at the races throughout the year. The biggest thing is that you must sign up before that race day, before that race starts on that race day, to get the points. Because points, they're going to get 10 points per round. I went back and forth on this, on how the points should be, because there's just so many ways you could do it. But with the races being different formats, I felt like it was more fair to give points for every time you win a round. But and also, I mean, on the website, if you want more details on how the program is going to work, that's definitely a great spot. If anyone wants to message me on South Central on Facebook or email me at page@southcentraldragracing.com, they're totally more than welcome to. I welcome any feedback that we can take in this year and make it better for next year, for sure.
Absolutely, guys. And thank you, Paige, for everything that you do for the sport. And thank you for trying to just blow a little life into the South Central drag racing community, because you know, a race there struggles, and to see that the points races are starting to get more attention, and maybe signing up for the points series has a little bit of encouragement to go do it. So anybody that's listening that sees Paige in the staging lanes or out and about, make sure you guys tell her thanks, and thanks for coming on here and promoting it.
Mm-hmm. Thank y'all so much for having me.
Anytime. Thanks, Paige, and we'll see you around. So, Zach, Paige was a little nervous, but I think that was pretty incredible. That's a girl that deserves everything that, you know, she's earned so far. Nobody has really given anything to her in the bracket racing world, and it's not easy trying to promote something in the Texas area at all, and let alone being female trying to promote something. Nothing against any females whatsoever, but you just don't see it. And, you know, props to her, kudos to her, because, you know, there's no difference whatsoever between a female and a male promoting that series, because it's taken off.
Yeah, awesome stuff going on there with Paige, and glad that she's doing that for the racers in that area. It's going to be, you know, just an awesome thing to be a part of for everybody there. So I see it getting bigger and growing, you know, years to come. So everybody go to that the site and sign up. Get ready for this point series, because they're gonna have some huge giveaways.
You're absolutely right.
And up next, our second interview of the show today, we're going to have Jeff Lambert. He is on here. We're going to speak about Armed Forces Racing and his new venture, racesponsorships.net. So we are happy to have Jeff Lambert. Okay, so joining us now is Jeff Lambert. And Jeff is a longtime racer, a veteran himself, and has dedicated his life to the sport of drag racing. He is the founder and president of Armed Forces Racing and the CEO of racesponsorships.net. Jeff, thank you very much for joining us. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's going well. I appreciate you all having me on.
If you would, please just kind of give us a background on yourself and how you got into this wonderful, crazy sport of drag racing.
Sure. You know, I had just gotten out of the Navy. I was just out of the service, and I worked away from home. And one weekend, I didn't go home. And I went out to a drag strip and backed up to a fence and set up a cooler and a lawn chair, and I was like, you know, hey, I like this stuff, and got hooked on it. So ran into a guy by the name of Steve Foley. I'm sure everybody knows that name, and, you know, and he took the time out of his racing, and every time he'd come up, he'd start, you know, he'd answer some questions, and I was trying to learn it. And so I decided I had to have a car. And so, man, I didn't have any money. I absolutely had no business building a car, to be honest with you. I had no money because I was just out of service. But anyway, we started on the Galaxy that I raced today, and it took me about 3 years to build it. And then I ran into Rodney Fincham. You know, he hangs out with Foley a lot, so I ran into him. And so I don't know. I guess this was around 2002, 2003, something like that. And so I started hanging around with Steve Foley and Rodney Fincham, trying to learn drag racing. And so that's kind of how I got hooked.
Yeah, Foley's one of those guys that'll teach you the right way to do it and then show you the wrong way to do it. So
yeah,
but he's never too good to set up and say, hey, you know, this is the right way and this is the wrong way, but sometimes this is the way that works. And
yeah,
and Foley's one of the best dudes about educating in the sport, and he's always giving back from my standpoint. I've met him a couple times, and he's just a good dude to be around in the pits. So that's not a bad guy to pick up from.
Oh, no. I tell you, I still pick up the phone and call him. I'll be like, hey, Steve, man, I don't know what's going on here. And he'll throw off something. You're like, well, that was so obvious. Why didn't I think of that? But he was right. You know, it would work or help. And still do the same thing with Rodney Fincham, too.
Yeah, when Fincham was on, I'm not sure if you listened or not. But
I did.
Foley was responsible for Fincham was responsible for Foley's kid's first concussion.
yeah.
So being on the Fast and Fincham payroll, I guess, so to speak, you got something to say about old Rodney Fincham that you think the world should hear?
Oh, man. I mean, boy, have I got some stories to tell. So let's talk about like that Galaxy. You know, when I first met him, I hadn't known him probably for 2 weeks or so, and I had blown the engine up in the Galaxy. I think, I can't remember, it's been so long ago, but I think the engine was broke in it. But Steve Foley, Jerry Hunt, Rodney Fincham, Chris Plott, and gosh, I can't remember, they was a bunch of us. We were headed to Alabama, and it was a foot brake race, and it was like one of the very first big money bracket races. You know, it was like 20 grand to win or something like that. It was, I mean, you know, everybody thought we was racing for $2 million back in those days. You know, that was just a huge deal. And we headed down there, and Rodney is driving a Malibu wagon, and he's got a Malibu wagon on a dolly pulling behind him. Okay. Now, so I'm going to ride down there with Rodney in this wagon. And so I pull up. I couldn't believe what I was getting into, first of all. But anyway. So
check your life insurance policy real quick.
Yeah. So he's taking this drive shaft out of this wagon that he's pulling, right? And so we're headed down there. I mean, man, and I, let me tell you something else that most people don't know about Rodney, but he ain't never on time for nothing. He is just he drives like a grandma when he's on the road. I'm telling you, he's so slow about everything he does. So anyway, but we're going down there. This was back in the days before GPS, and we're lost. We don't know where we're at, and Rodney's in the front leading this whole thing, and we're lost. Well, I'm asleep. Well, unbeknownst to me, we're going down this road that we're definitely shouldn't have been on. So Rodney decides to do a big U-turn right there. But when he does this U-turn, and he can tell the story a whole lot better than me, but when he does this U-turn, the wagon gets off in the grass, and now I wake up because we're going sideways with a car on a dolly behind us, and now he's trying to do a donut. Now he's got no other choice but to gun this thing because we're going to go over this cliff that's like 50 feet down. I mean, that's what it looked like when I woke up. And I woke up screaming, and I've got both hands clamped to that dash, man. And all I saw was my life go from my eyes. And he looked over and he said, "We got her, didn't we?" And that was so anyway, we run on down there. But that was about the time Rodney Fincham tried to kill me. And you need to get him to tell that story sometime. But we went on down there and got there. And I was like, well, all right, where were we going to sleep? You know, because I didn't even think anything about it. I was young. I didn't think anything about it. So I slept in the back of one of them wagons, hugged up with the spare tire back in the wheel, the spare tire wheel in the back of the thing. And that's where we slept all week.
Back there you go.
But, you know, it's just like his truck. I mean, that's just the way Rodney does it.
So Joey replaced you is what you're saying.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't know Joey back in those days. So I don't know when Joey came into the picture, but yeah, actually I was there and Chris Plott asked me if I would help push his car through the staging lanes and I was like, yeah, man, I'll help you, you know, and he's like, look, man, if I win this, I'll give you $100. And I was like, heck yeah, you know. I didn't know who Chris Plott was and I'd never met him, right? You know, so I mean, I didn't know this guy, and of course, after a while, you've learned that, you know, how good of a racer he is and stuff, you know. But after about two buybacks in the second round and he lost, and I was like, look, man, this ain't your weekend. I'm going to go over and watch some racing. And Rodney Fincham's like, you just told one of the best foot brake racers in the world that he wasn't no good. I was like, well, I don't know if he's good or not, but I know right now that he's having a little trouble, you know. So.
Hey, he's going to give you $100, and you know if Rodney won, you'd be lucky to get Cracker Barrel on the way home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know Rodney, so, you know, and Rodney, I tell you, with that guy, too, you know, one of the things they did down there, they had this airplane flying over, and they dropped out $1 bills. And if there's anybody in the world that was going to get the $100 bill that dropped out of that plane, it was going to be Rodney. Because, I mean, it just seems like everything that he does in life, they could drop $100 bill out of the plane, it's going to hit him in the forehead, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it was. And I can't remember if he got the $100 bill or not, but I know that he sure racked up a whole lot of money. They flew this plane like 50 feet over and just started dumping money out, you know. And Rodney paid for his whole trip with the money he gathered, I promise you.
I believe that. Yeah, Norwalk back in the day used to do the same thing with a guy on like a paraglider thing and hit some kid in the eye and they got sued, and now they don't do that anymore, but money seems much safer. They used to drop little parachuted packages. I guess the parachute didn't open on one of them.
Oh yeah, that'd probably be a problem. yeah. So, but anyway, if you ever get a chance, you run across Rodney, ask him to tell you the story, because I mean, you know how he tells the story, he can tell it so much better, you know.
Heck, I feel like I've seen him ever since he was on the podcast. I've seen him probably every other week since then. He was at PRI and Palm Beach and everywhere else.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you another real quick one time, real fast, is I asked him about the time I led the cops to his house. That'd be a real interesting right there. But I'd let him tell that one. So if you ever get him on, say, hey, I want to know how Jeff Lambert led the cops to your house, and let him tell the story.
Right on.
Well, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about Armed Forces Racing and tell us exactly, you know, kind of how it came about, got started, and what it is exactly that you do.
Guys, yeah, that's one of my passions, one of the things I love to talk about. So Armed Forces Racing started out with that Galaxy, the same Galaxy that I very first bought. We moved to North Carolina, lived in an apartment. I didn't have a place for the car, and it was just a red painted car at that time. And it sat in storage for 5 years or so, you know. So we finally bought a house. We moved across the state line into South Carolina and bought a house and bought this big detached shop's 1,800 square foot garage. And I was like, yes, perfect. So I dragged the car out of the storage and I put it in there. And just like every other project that everybody ever talks about, you know, it was just starting to rust. The car was starting to rust. And I pulled the back Lexan glass out of it and found that one of the corners there where that glass frame would have been in was actually almost rusted through. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Until I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't really want to take the car to the track looking like this. I said, it's going to need a restoration. And my wife and I are always big on about doing good things for other people. That's kind of how we live our life. And I said, why don't we just do a little tribute car out of this, you know, something like that. So she was like, heck yeah, that'd be great. And so she actually, because she helped me actually build that car the first time, just not having a clue what she's doing, really. But I'd hand her a tool and say that needs to come out, and she'd get it out, you know, or whatever. But and she kind of done that with this restore. But anyway, it started out as just a tribute car to our military, but I called it Project Navy Hot Rod because I was in the Navy. So we called it Project Navy Hot Rod, and we started down that road. But one of the things, I had a Vietnam veteran, moved in about the same time we did. He was a hot rodder, not a drag racer, but he loved hot rods, and he has a 30 Model A flathead V8 and his own, you know, and he restored that car. And he showed up one day, and he just never left. And so he stayed and started helping with that car. And his wife came to me one day and said, you know, you don't know if you know this or not, but I really think that, you know, God put us beside each other for a reason. And that's because I really do think you've saved his life. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, all he ever talked about was missing his friends from New York. And all he ever talked about was, you know, when I die, this will happen. When I die, do this. When I die, do that. And she said, now you don't talk about dying or doesn't talk about the dreams or doesn't talk about anything. All he ever talks about is cars and then, you know, even thinking about restoring his own car. And I told my wife, I said, you know, we've touched somebody here that we didn't even know that we were touching and didn't even mean to do just by this car. So maybe we ought to do something more with it. And that's kind of how it got started. So we just knew we could help veterans, and why not do it? So we changed the name because Project Navy Hot Rod was too inclusive to just Navy guys. I realized nobody else was really paying attention to us from the other branches.
No jarheads allowed.
Yeah. And so we changed the name to Armed Forces Racing, and then we became incorporated, and we've actually helped one other race team start their own program up in Tennessee. Top Secret Speed's their name. They're not a nonprofit, but they work under a Veterans Adventure Group, which is a nonprofit. But we helped them start their program up there from what we've done here. So, you know, it was one of the things that we're kind of proud of too.
Yeah, and you know that hits close to home for Zach and I both. Both of my grandfathers were in the military, and my great grandfather was stationed in Germany in World War II. So, thank you for that, and you know, that's definitely an incredible thing. And thank you for your service as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. So Armed Forces Racing's grown a lot. You know, we went from building that Galaxy, which was my car, to where we needed our own car for the program, you know. So then we built that 92 Mustang GT that's called Project DD214. And for anybody that's listening, every veteran that just heard DD214, the bell just went off in their head, and they were super excited to hear that term because that's kind of our badge of honor. That's a discharge document that all veterans get when you get out of the service. So if you're honorably discharged, you get this DD214, and it's basically your service record, but your discharge document, and that makes you eligible for your VA home loans, your medical, all the things that you are entitled to for serving, that now as a civilian, that form is required to present for that particular benefit or whatever.
Which is nowhere near enough for what you guys have done, but that's definitely a plus whenever you come back home and try to get back into the routine of life, I think.
Yeah. So DD214 was a perfect name for that car. And now that car, we finished it up in October. We actually gave our first rides in the car. We have two veterans now have driven the car. So if that car never served its purpose again, it already has made the difference in some of the veterans' lives, you know, right away. Crew Chief Rick, the Vietnam veteran I was telling you about, he hadn't been down the track three times in his life, and it was all in that car, and he entered a gambler's race and made the finals.
Nice.
Foot breaking it against top ET cars.
Yeah, and you touch one person, that's one more than you would have without even building the car in the first place. So that's a win right there.
Oh, yeah. You know, and one of the things we did with him for him when we had that car done was we had his Vietnam dog tags airbrushed on the car, and we didn't tell him about it. And he kind of hides these emotions he don't get to. And, you know, he didn't really like the camera being on him when we unveiled that because he was starting to cry, you know. And that really touched him. So now we kid, because the first time the car's been entered into a race, the first time he's been entered into a race, they go to the finals and get a winner circle picture, you know. And we're like, is anybody else ever going to be allowed to drive that car now? Because mm-hmm. his name's on it, and he's the only one that knows how to win in it. So I guess it's his car. But we tease him about it. But anyway, the ride-alongs that we've done and letting veterans go down and ride with us, you know, Shady Side's nice enough. It's a track here next to us that lets us do that. You're right. It's served its purpose, and just if it just done it for one, it was worth it all.
So where can people go to donate and help out the cause of Armed Forces Racing?
So you can donate two places. You can go to our website, armedforcesracing.org, and go to the donation page there and donate there. Or you can go to our Facebook page, and our Facebook name is @ Armed Forces Racing, and you can go there and hit the donate button up there and do that. Both places.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So transitioning into your new venture, racesponsorships.net. Tell us about what it is that you do for racers seeking sponsorships.
Yeah. So racesponsorships.net. That's an adventure that I started. So kind of backtrack on that. You know, I have my degree in business and small business management. But I started helping racers along the last few years, with their race sponsorship stuff and just helping my buddies and stuff, you know. But back in November of this year, I decided that I needed to leave my job because Armed Forces Racing was gotten so big that it was taking a full-time position to do, but it wasn't paying anything. So I thought, well, why don't I just take my race sponsorship thing and let's turn that into a business, and I'll start writing proposals and things for people there. So my goal with racesponsorships.net is to help grow the grassroots racers. I know that we're trying to do race sponsorships, but in my mind, I guess is the way to say it, I think if we could help the grassroots racer grow and grow their program and allow them to be able to race with a marketing partner or something along those lines, that they can get a sponsor on the side of their car, that'll get them more invested into their program and allow that grassroots racer to grow their program and then at that same time help grow the sport, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's great. And I can speak for personal experience, and the work that you do is great. And, and helping me get the partnership with Siebert Performance, which is awesome, and hope to grow into bigger and better things down the road. And so as far as that goes, how can someone get in touch with you about getting a proposal done?
Yeah, so they can just go, email me, jefflambert@armedforcesracing.org. I'm using that email for it right now. Or they can go, call me, 704-890-8412. Get on Facebook and message me, or go to my Facebook page, racesponsorships.net, so but I would, if we've got a minute, I would like to give everybody a little bit of a tip on some of the race sponsorship stuff that people are looking for. One, I thought I'd throw a little bit out there, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. And also one thing I wanted to mention, too, is, you know, anybody that does work with Jeff on something like this, he's going to hold you accountable and make sure that you get stuff done. I know he was telling me, OK, I need you to do this and I need you to do this and I need you to do this. And I greatly appreciated that. You know, I mean, that was exactly what I needed, was somebody to say, OK, I need this done and I need this done so I can do this for you. And it got me on the ball as far as like, OK, this guy's serious. Let's go. So that's one thing I could speak from personal experience, is that he will give you tasks to do and do them, you know, and do them in a timely manner, and the results will be very beneficial.
Yeah, I hit the ground running pretty hard. If you hire me, I hit the ground running pretty hard, because I've got a lot of ideas in my head, and I got a lot of things I want to do, you know, for you. So one of the things that people can do, so I would like to talk to the grassroots racer here and be serious. A lot of the people that I talk to, actually just about everyone I've ever talked to with a sponsorship, even some of my buddies, I would say it's not the fun stuff that will get you a sponsorship. You know, it's a proposal is not going to get you a sponsorship. I made a post about that today. You have to sell that proposal before it gets to their desk. In other words, that whole sponsorship, that proposal, when we put it on their desk, is the final piece of the puzzle. And so it's all the stuff that you have to do beforehand, like you were talking about. So one of the things I would encourage every racer to do, even if you're just a local Saturday bracket racer, make a budget. Put a budget together. And because what that does quite a few things for you, but you need to put a budget together and figure out, well, all right, it cost me this much to race this weekend. All right, it cost me this much to operate my car this for the year. You know, think about things like spark plugs. How many times you put spark plugs in there? How many times you change the wires, you know, or do you change the wires? Or, you know, how many times you got to change a fuel filter? You know, think about your oil changes. How many times do I change the oil? Because what happens is the next year when you go to put that budget sponsorship proposal together, we can go back and look at your budget and say, all right, well, I could target this area right here, and this would help save me money, you know? So, so, you know, because we don't need $10,000 sponsorships. I mean, they're nice, but they're a little harder to get whenever you can go to Larry's parts house and say, hey, how about some oil changes for the year? And then you find ways to add value to that. Right. So then you can say, I'm going to go to you, and let's say that you get $60 worth of oil filters for the year. That's all you need. Well, you want to take that $60 and give them that investment back on that return on investment, and then just double it. So you got to give that $60 back plus $180. And what that does is that starts to build that relationship for you, so that now that $180 that you returned on their investment now can say, well, you know what? How about I give them the oil and the oil filters? They've done a good job for me last year. You know, so you start to build that relationship. And so that's where I would say to people that doesn't like to do the dirty work of it, is what I say, is the budget. And that's some of the things that I can help them with. You know, putting that budget together, how do you add value? The number one thing that everybody says to me when they call me is, hey, I seen you posting up some stuff here, but I don't know where to start. Nobody knows where to start. That's where I can, you know, obviously help them learn to start. But it's one of those things where it's okay to not know where to start, as long as you're starting, right? You know, exactly. So you pick up the phone, you call me and say, I don't know where to start. That's all right. I can show you where to start. The proposal, in other words, the proposal is the piece that we put together at the end. It's all that little things that we come together to get together at the end for that proposal to be put on that desk. And it's all about relationships. Everything that I do is a relationship based. Either I know somebody, or I know somebody that knows somebody, or you've got to stop and do a lot of hard work to build that relationship so that you can get to know them, so that then you can put a proposal in front of them. Luke Bogacki said it best: be a customer first. You know, that's another big tip right there. Be a customer first, and then that grows into a relationship.
Yeah, that's. I had a pretty good conversation with Tom Kundrick the other day, and he said, you know, he said it's rare that we sponsor somebody looking to change brands. He said, you know, we look for people that have supported us through the years and got us to where we are to give back to them, and that's exactly how that works. And as far as the responsibility part of being a racer with a partnership is, you know, it's kind of like the promoting saying, everybody wants to promote races until it's time to do promoter things. You know, it's not it's not, hey, call Jeff Lambert and he's going to get me 10 sponsorships. No, you're going to have pull your weight also.
Yeah. So out of the box thinking, you all hear me say that a lot on my Facebook page and even on my personal page. I'm always on that out of the box thinking. And one of the things, you know, I had a conversation on one of my posts. It got some pretty good back and forth going. But I made a post about it's not about a sticker on the side of your race car. And, you know, some people disagreed with that, and that's okay. They're allowed to disagree with it. But my point of that was, is let's just throw out Jegs as a company. So Jegs would, if you went to Jegs and said, hey, Jegs, I want $10,000 in part, and I'm going to put a sticker on the side of your car. That's not going to get you anywhere because Jegs can already do that for themselves, right? You know, so when you order a part from them, what do you get in the box every time? You get a sticker that most people put on the side of their car, or at least on a quarter glass window or something like that. So that you got to start thinking about something that you can give them that they can't already do for themselves.
Yep, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm.
You mean wearing that Jegs hat that you get every time won't get you the $10,000? That's what Dad and I always joke about. Oh, yay, another Jegs hat. But yeah. I think we probably got 50 of them. But that's a great plan on their part, you know, because that.
Yeah, you have to go back and start thinking about what can I do for them that they can't do for themselves, or what are they already doing that I can help them grow? That's another good way to think about it. So let's say you got company A, but they don't really care about a sticker on the side of the car. They care about leads, right? So they want leads. So maybe that's how you put your proposal together. So look, I can do this program, this program, and this program, and I can help you gain leads. Because I can promise you there's companies out there that know how many leads turns into a sale. So let's say that they've got for every 1,000 leads they have, that turns into 5 sales. Well, maybe you can help them grab another 10,000 leads that they weren't already reaching, right? So they know how many sales that's going to turn into. So, and then they could even tell you, most companies could even tell you how much on the average that sale is. So they know what that 10,000 leads is worth, right? So if that's something that you can do for them, then that's how you put your proposal together. And that's what I mean by out of the box thinking.
Yep. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense whenever you say it fast. No, I followed what you were saying, and that's probably pretty accurate. You know, you have to, you as the sponsored racer have to put in the legwork. You have to go, you know, hit the ground running with them and put in the work for them also, because, you know, if you want free money, welfare is always an option, but that's not going to pay for your race car.
Yeah. Right. And that budget, that's I keep going back onto that. I would love to see racers more treat their business more like a business, you know, the race program more like a business, and put a budget together, guys. I mean, if you don't know where your money's going, how do you know how much you got to race on, you know? And
most of them are probably married, Jeff.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They don't want the spreadsheet for their wife to find it in their computer.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't actually put those numbers out on paper like that, you know.
Yeah, well, they don't want to, you know, X marks the spot where the mason jar is hid in the backyard with all the money that you didn't want your wife to find out about, right? Yeah. So, but you know, it's important. And so, think about this too. Think about the local parts. You know, everybody's probably got a performance shop somewhere that's, you know, it's a local that they're not mail order catalog, right? I mean, think about that poor guy. How many times a day does the circle track guys and the dirt track guys and the drag racers and the go-kart guys, how many times do you think he's asked today, hey, I'll put a sticker on the side of the car if you let me have a set of tires, you know? So when you go in to talk to that guy, I've already had somebody sponsored by a local parts performance guy, but the reason why he got that sponsorship when nobody else could is because of the professional presentation that he took in. He went in, listen, this is the most important thing for everybody to listen to understand. When you go in with your hand out, you're almost destined to fail. But when you go in offering with your hand closed and not wanting anything in return, you do want something in return, but in metaphorically speaking, you go in offering and going in to present that presentation of, I want to help you. I want to be a good marketing partner for you. And I want to help you get the sales or the leads, whatever it is that you're looking for. When you go in that way, they start to look at you different. So if you had a budget together and you said, this is how much it cost me to run this year. I'm looking for you know, such and such, but here's what I can do for you instead. Then when you go in there, that guy's not heard that presentation before, right? So he's more willing to want to listen to what you have to say and to hear what you have to say. And don't go in and cold call those guys. Go in and make an appointment. Even if you know them well enough, take them out to lunch. You know, say, hey, I'll take you out to lunch. I got something I want to talk to you. You know,
yep.
Because those guys have heard the other way too many times. So go in and be real professional and have your proposal and your presentation together professionally, and they'll listen to you.
Yeah, hitting them with the blind side is not the way to go about it usually.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, it's Tuesday again. Here we go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So if you go in approaching those guys with a professional presentation and the right way and with the offer instead of the ask, I'm not saying you're going to get the sponsorship. I'm just saying they're going to listen to
it. Yep.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And so we're excited to announce that we're going to do a little contest here with Jeff and racesponsorships.net to help out a grassroots racer and a listener supporter of the show. Maybe get a little sponsorship help, or at least get Jeff's input and a proposal written. So Jeff, why don't you tell our listeners how that's going to work?
So we'll have a form that you fill out. It'll be like an application, and you can fill out this application and you present it. It'll be on your Facebook page and mine, so they can go to find it either place, and they can download that form and then present it to either one of us and submit it back through Facebook there. And then we'll go through it and we'll narrow it down to, you know, a certain amount, and then we'll go through and narrow it down to, we get down to, two people, and then I'll write a sponsorship proposal for them and we'll try to help them get a sponsorship.
All right. Yeah, well, sounds great.
Yeah. We'll have them on here and, we can probably have Jeff on here whenever we get them on here and see how they act, you know, in front of not necessarily an interview or an interrogation, but, you know, see how they respond to some of the questions that you'll see out there in the racing world. And the most important part, probably the winner's circle, whenever that company helped you get to that point. So,
yeah,
that's, you don't want to get on a live feed and have your one chance to thank them for it and not do it, because that's not good usually.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll see about maybe trying to get a few companies willing to look at these proposals and see if we can, when we pick a winner, and then we can maybe try to sell it to them and see if we can help them get a sponsor for their car for the year.
Yep. We can't guarantee you a sponsorship, but we can guarantee that Jeff's going to do all he can to get you one. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I work hard. So they, whoever it is, better be prepared to work hard with me.
Yeah,
that's
don't,
right.
Don't let your phone shut off. That'd probably be a bad idea. Yeah. Make sure make sure whenever you hire Jeff Lambert, you've got minutes on your phone.
Yep, yep. And and I do a lot. I do a lot of phone consultation, you know, with what I do. So, and just so everybody knows, a basic proposal, you know, that's the biggest question I get from everybody is what the cost is. So I through December, I ran a basic 3 to 5 page proposal and 2 hours of consultation for $150. And then that's normally a $300 deal. And so I kept that going through January. I am about a week behind right now. So, you know, so if you want to hire me, understand I've got about a week's worth of work this week ahead of you. But I kept that $150 promotion introductory price going through January.
Does the VA treat carpal tunnel?
They do.
They do. Future. Sound like a busy fella.
Yeah, I am. You know what? I'm a goals kind of guy, and I was sitting here through my phone going, all right, I've got this proposal. And I was like, holy cow. I told my wife actually before we got on this call, I said, you know what? I'm probably going to have to get up early this week. Because I've got so much to do out in the shop and to do this all at the same time. But I'm not complaining. It's a good thing.
Will she still beat you up to get the coffee cup in the refrigerator with the drawing on it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
become the Facebook sensation that it has become.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny you brought that up. So there's a lot of the racers, too, that like to give me a hard time about it. So those who don't know, if you see them on my Facebook page, my wife takes so here's this true story, okay? I can't make a cup of coffee worth a hoot. If I make my own cup of coffee, I can't even drink it. And I can't, and if you, I either make it too strong or too weak, and then I can't, I don't know. I just don't have the gift for it or something. And so when I started working from home and doing these sponsorship stuff, my wife's like, hey, you want me to make you a cup of coffee? And I'm like, yes, I miss your coffee so much. And so she wrote a little funny note on it, and it's because it's on a styrofoam cup. And so, and I made a little Facebook post about it. Well, now it's become, like you said, just this big thing, and she'll put drink if you dare, or, you know, she'll put a poison symbol on it one day, or, you know, or something. And I don't know if Rob Fisher, I raced with him one time, but Rob Fisher is one of the guys that gets the biggest kick out of this. And I think every day he looks forward to it. And if it's not up there, he wants to know where it's at.
Hey, he definitely listens to this. I get criticized all the time by the Rain Man.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. You know, Rob asked me if I'd paint his car for him the other day, and I said no, but I got a cup with a personal message on it on its way to you, and he said, just my luck. yeah,
Rob's one of the best dudes you'll ever see at a racetrack. He's always trying to better the sport, and I don't know, I've learned a lot from him and learned a lot of what not to do as well. So
yeah, well, he won. Not let me forget about this cup. No matter what it is, he's always got something funny to say. It sounds crazy. I look forward to what everybody else has to say about this cup thing whenever I post it up. But if Rob doesn't post, I'm almost disappointed.
You send it to him in a message probably if he doesn't ever show up on it.
Yeah. Or I'll tag him in it. I'm like, Rob, dude, come on, man. What you got to say?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Jeff, also I want to ask you this because I should have asked the last guest, but as far as whenever you're on race day, what is your go-to meal that you have to have?
Burger King on the way in and Arby's on the way out.
Whew. Nice. That's one of the things I like racing about. We got this little track at called Excella Quarter, which it's an 8th mile track, but anyway, it's in Harrisburg, Illinois, and they have an Arby's going in like right as you turn, basically about 2 miles away from the track. So I hit it up on the way in.
I've been to Excella Quarter quite a few times. I'm not sure I've ever been not in a hurry enough to notice an Arby's. I don't even know where it's at.
Oh, yep. Gosh. Yeah, I'm well.
Sure right past it.
It became a thing last year because I went 11 races in a row making the quarterfinals or better. And we ate Burger King on the way in and Arby's on the way out. So it just kind of stuck.
Nice. Fast food fuel to victory.
Well, awesome. I'm a big guy. I like to eat.
Well, man, it's been a pleasure having you on, and we look forward to doing this contest and, you know, and seeing how it all turns out and helping out some racers. And, you know, certainly personally, I can't thank you enough for the help you've given me and advice. So everybody go hit Jeff up, go to racesponsorships.net, go on his Facebook page. If you're serious about getting a sponsorship for your racing program, he's the guy to talk to. So thank you very much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
No problem. I appreciate it, guys.
We'll see you around, sir. Zach, I need a new set of rods. Hopefully Jeff can help me out with that. I might have to hit him up later on.
Yeah, I think you should. I think that's the man to talk to. He definitely knows his stuff when it comes to sponsorships for the grassroots racer. And if anybody, like we mentioned, I mean, for sure, if you are looking to get a sponsorship or just looking on how to take the first step, he's a great person to talk to. You know, his services are well worth it. So, you know, go visit Jeff, give him a holler, tell him we sent you, and he's guaranteed to help you out. That's for sure.
Yeah, and that's a guy that's always got his ear to the ground, and you know, I think he's got insight on a lot of things before it happens too. So that's a guy that you'll want to have on your side anytime you're trying to move your racing program in the forward direction.
Yep, that's for sure. And with that, let's move to our final round. This is something I thought about, you know, when we were looking at having Paige on the show, and I know in the old days they had the B&M series that you and I were. Well, I know you were too young for it. I missed it by a little bit.
I hear everybody talk about it if that counts.
Right. Well, I remember back in the day, I remember Bobby Harper Jr. always ran that B&M series and did really good at a lot of those races and finished way up there in the points a few times. And, you know, I just think that this is an opportunity right now. I mean, you're looking at the landscape of 2019 big money racing. This is going to be the biggest year that any of us has ever seen or ever dreamed of in the amount of big money races that are happening and the payouts that are available for bracket racers. So I just think that the point series is just the next logical step. I mean, you know, with the NHRA having the divisionals and the nationals and the points chases, well, you know, I really see a kind of the wave of the future here as being point series for big money bracket racing. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a place for that. You know, I've kind of brainstormed ideas on how to do that myself, and there was ideas on, you know, like an invite only thing. Say that you have the top 64 round winners or points winners or what have you, and then invite them to a race, you know, and then just have it out and say, hey, this is your big money bracket national champion,
right?
Or something of that effect. You know, obviously there's a lot more things that play into that, but you know, that was some of the promoter side of what the way I think sometimes at work. But I think that would be pretty neat to see something like that kind of rumble out.
Yeah, sort of like an all-star event. I could see something like that taking off and being a great, you know, a great idea. And what better way to decide a champion than to run it on the racetrack? So,
and
I mean, that would be
great. Yeah, but the key to that, I think, would be having product backing or corporate, not really corporate, I guess, but the industry backing you in that. And it's so drawn out right now that it's probably not the time for that, but soon enough maybe.
But yeah, I mean, you know, and I know there's some other tracks that are working together. I know in Tennessee, I know there's a few tracks that are running some. I'm sorry I have more knowledge on it when I'm speaking about it here, but I know there are a few tracks over there that are working together and having a point series on, I think it's five grand races that are going on in each track. So, you know, little stuff like that, I think that gets, you know, more interest for the racer and gives you a little bit, I don't know, more of a carrot to chase, you know, so to speak. So I could definitely see that becoming more prevalent. And I hope that more tracks and promoters think about that, because, you know, really, if you work together, I mean, if your events aren't on the same weekend that are competing from one another, then that could be something that drives attendance to your event, is the people that are trying to earn points for that series. So it, you know, turns into a win-win situation, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see. Maybe there's some rumblings of that happening, but that's to be announced in the future, I reckon. But yeah, I think that there's definitely a market for it, and there's definitely a place for it. I'm just not sure it's the year for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, everything else is going to happen in 2020, so we'll see.
Right. Well, with that, I think this has been a great first episode of 2019. I definitely appreciate our guests, Paige Hamlin and Jeff Lambert, for coming on the show. And we look forward to, once again, bringing you a podcast every week of 2019. And we certainly appreciate everybody listening. And we will get the details for the contest with Jeff. We'll be on the Facebook page shortly after this episode comes out. So look for that. Get yourself signed up and get a chance to win. And also, we have stickers that are still for sale, $10 a set. Get a hold of me, and we will get you hooked up with a set of decals. Go out there and win your race and come on and shoot the breeze with us.
Yeah, tell us about how you kicked everybody's heads in and whatnot. So, yeah, that puts a wrap on episode number 17. We will see you guys in the practice tree staging lane somewhere, somehow.